Here are four principles for living like an American. Protect freedom. Take responsibility at all times. Express gratitude for every gift and opportunity. Become a source of love. Once again, these are the times that try our souls. We must find the strength and the courage to rise up to refound America in the spirit of liberty. America. And what goes with that is reclaiming ourselves. That's what we do here. We refound America. We reclaim ourselves. I'm Dr. Peter Bregan. I'm a psychiatrist. This is Brighteon TV, and it's real TV, folks. You can watch this on Roku. Nothing realer than Roku. And many of you will be listening to us on PRN.live. Really proud that they're happy to have me there for this show. Today, I'm going to be having on a dear friend, a great man, a real genuine physician. He's what every physician should be, and he's devoted his career to, very much to women's issues and infants' issues. His name is Jim Thorpe. He's board-certified obstetrician, gynecologist, and maternal-fetal medicine. That is very special. We're going to learn about COVID-19, about the vaccine, and maternal-fetal medicine. It affects you. Well, welcome back to Refounding America, Reclaiming Ourselves. Just want to let folks know that Ginger and I have been working on a special project for a while on mass psychosis. We strongly believe that this is a very misguided concept that is quite destructive to the health freedom movement, blaming the folks for having mass psychosis when we now know from Desmet, who was working very closely with Malone. It's about Matthias Desmet and Robert Malone. And you can find this on America Out Loud. It's run by Malcolm. America Out Loud. We've now got two papers up there. One just went up yesterday that talks a bit about Robert Malone along with Desmet and what our concerns are and what we hope these gentlemen will change. Well, now to my guest, my marvelous, wonderful Jim Thorpe. Jim, hi.
Hey, Dr. Bregan. Hey, good to see you. Thank you so much for having me on your platform.
Oh, gosh. I wish I could have you to dinner, sir. You're such a wonderful man. But I'm not traveling, and I'm a pretty far away from you to travel here. Tell folks where you are right now.
I'm in... I'm in heaven. I'm in Gulf Breeze, Florida, which is immediately adjacent to Pensacola. We're immediately south, and we look out over the beautiful Gulf of Mexico, and it's gorgeous, pristine white sand. And Maggie and I are just very blessed to be here. I do full time practice out of. I have a very, very large, busy practice out of Missouri and out of Illinois. I work out of multiple offices, and I do telemedicine.
Well, and Jim, you're doing 6,000 or 7,000 risk pregnancy consultations. Is that a year? 6,000, 7,000?
I'm on track for 9,000 this year, Dr. Bregan.
So if anybody in the world knows about maternal fetal medicine, you do. And by the way, I know what an incredibly responsible physician you are. So I'm going to do something I don't usually do. I know you have PowerPoints. I'd like you to just if you don't have anything introductory to say, then just talk about this whole issue of maternal medicine, fetal medicine. And folks, if you're guys, don't believe this doesn't apply to you. I mean, this is about life in America. This is about maybe your future wife, if you don't have one now, your future children, about your children now. It's about a lot of things you should be listening to. And Dr. Thorpe is going to give some real good medicine now, the kind of stuff doctors hear. Jim, just pick up wherever you want.
Great. Heather, could I have the first slide? Thank you. Great. So patient betrayal, the corruption of healthcare, informed consent, and the physician-patient relationship. This was one of our many publications just this year on COVID-19. And I'm in deep gratitude to my beautiful bride, Maggie. And although there were 19 of us who authored this, including the venerable Dr. Peter Bragan, actually co-authored this with us, in addition to the other Peter, Dr. Peter McCulloch, and so many others around the country, coast to coast, many of the Children's Health Defense Fund, and Brian Hooker, and many, many others, including four attorneys, Tom Renz. Truth be told, my beautiful bride, Maggie, who is an incredible writer and investigative attorney, actually did most of the writing on the legal side of this. But this was published earlier this year in the Gazette of Medical Sciences, a peer-reviewed medical publication. And what we did was a combination of a medical article and a legal brief. And it's very well done. And basically what we did was outline the issues of fraud, collusion, and RICO violations that have occurred subsequent to all of the boards in the United States of America within 1 month of each other. All 44 boards and 80 or so subspecialties included there within issued a heretofore unprecedented gag order on every physician and nurse in the United States of America. And if you don't believe it, go read this yourself. It's very well documented. I'm currently under attack from the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology and have been so for about a year because they allege that I'm a misinformation spreader and have threatened to take away my livelihood as a physician. And it's part of the cost of honoring my Hippocratic oath, my oath to God, and my officer's oath to the Constitution of the United States of America. So this is unprecedented, and this should bring concern to everybody in this country, because the fact of the matter is, the truth is, you cannot trust your physician or your nurse, period. How are you going to trust them? They can't give you informed consent. It's impossible to give informed consent about the COVID jab or the vaccination, which is really not a vaccination. Can't give it because nobody in the world, except for an elite few, know what's in it, number one. And number two, the CDC and the FDA, Janet Woodcock and Rochelle Walensky, they have come out and admitted that they have absolutely, they are not being transparent with the data. And also Dr. Birx came out, and she stated that she knew that Dr. Fauci was lying and that she didn't believe anything. So she admitted that she was lying when she stood up there with the president and with Fauci and saying that this was extremely important to do. Now she comes out and writes a book and says, oh, well, I was lying, but I'm going to make a lot of money on this book and resign. Next slide for me.
Jim, where can people get this? Is it up on your website, the report?
This is up. If you go to the internet, Heather, could I have the next slide for please? If you go to the internet and just Google patient betrayal or Thorpe JA, you'll come up with this, and it's open access, so you get it for free. You don't have to pay anything. I guess our, oh, there we go. I'm looking at the wrong slide. This is another publication that we just finished. And I want to, and it looks like, I think you all can see it up there, but our most recent publication, which was actually just published 3 weeks ago, also in the Gazette of Medical Sciences, a peer-reviewed publication. And my beautiful bride, Maggie, was a co-author on this. She's a brilliant writer, incredible writer, and also my research team up in Michigan. And basically, this is really part and parcel what this whole COVID vaccine is about. It's about disaster capitalism. So what it's about is basically implementing strategies in which the rich can become richer. Since the COVID-19, we've created over 500 billionaires. That's a billionaire every 27 days, if my math is correct. So just to give you an idea of the proceeds and the outcome of what disaster capitalism is about, Eisenhower and JFK talked about the military-industrial complex, and they warned us. In fact, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, just 6 months before he was assassinated, informed the CIA that he was going to shatter them into 1,000 pieces, and he was subsequently assassinated. Well, what we've had is the medical industrial complex has always been right along the same line and was really lockstep and barrel, and was implemented in the last century. J.D. Rockefeller basically squished all of the other practices of medicine, when medicine has always been practiced as a healing art and a gift that was given to us by our creator, and there were healers. And we had the concepts of human energetics and human fields, and the concept that God created us in his image and that he created us to be free and to be our own healers in terms of everything he gave us in our magnificent bodies that he created us with, and the energetics that he provided us with on this beautiful earth are all we need. Next step. To give you an idea of how much money the industrial capitalists, the corporatists, the medical industrial complex has made, it's just staggering. Give you a thumbnail. United States of America, we rank among third world countries in infant mortality and perinatal outcomes and maternal mortalities and several other. We get a D. D as in dog. Maybe an F in several sectors. But yet, in the United States of America, per capita, per person, per annum, we spend $12,000 a year, about almost $12,000 a year for every man, woman, and child in the United States of America. And yet we have a D, D as in dog, on a report card. Now let's look at India. India has over a quarter of the world's population. And do you know what India's cost per annum, per capita, in their society for healthcare? It's not $12,000. It's only $64. And they do much better than us. Much better. They have much better outcomes. So that's a massive amount of money. So this has turned into a technocracy of corporatists that really don't care about our health, but their bottom line is creating billions of dollars. Let me just give you a conflict of interest. You know, I come in, next slide for me, Heather, thank you. I come in and next slide, Heather. I don't have any conflicts of interest. Every time I present, every time I talk, I am obligated to tell you if I have a conflict of interest. But yet the CDC and the FDA, do you realize that over 40% of their annual operating budget, let this sink in, comes from the pharmaceutical industry, the vaccine industry. Can you imagine that? They hold thousands of patents on vaccines. That's a huge conflict of interest. And you'll also find that the major medical journals have the exact same issue. Next slide for me. So I would like for the stakeholders of the medical industrial complex, you know, the editor of all the major flagship medical journals for the medical industrial complex that are compromised, they're bought off, they're supported by the vaccine industry, the corporate pharmaceutical companies essentially own medical care in the United States of America. And this is exactly what Ronald Reagan was afraid of in 1986. Next slide. I will just briefly review some of the physiology that is really important. I deal exclusively.
Jim, if you're going to go to the physical stuff right now, I'd like to give a slightly different slant just for a minute on the idea that this is about capitalism. When we began to really look into, you know, in our book, COVID-19, The Global Predators, when we started to look at what forces were behind this, there's actually two empires going on. One is the West, an empire which pretends to be capitalist, and one is the Chinese empire, which pretends to be communist. And they're really predators. And I think they use capitalism, they use communism, the corporate people you're talking about, over history have funded it, and this is factual, folks. Some of them have funded the development of the Nazi regime and its military. They helped then with the development of Mao and their industry and his taking over of China. I think we need to let go of continuing to use the word capitalism, because we don't have capitalism, that none of those people want a free market. Most of the people who are identified as capitalists, like Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, the whole mob of them, they're collectivists. They all want a collectivist governance of the world. And then you get a regime that we have now with Biden, and certainly he's more identified with progressivism than with capitalism. But, of course, he's in very tight with, so tight in corruption with China, you can't tell what he is. And now the Chinese are using so-called capitalism to help dominate the world. So my main concern is that people will get the idea that this is all a creature of capitalism. The big government is a creature also of progressivism, even more so. But it's actually no more any distinctions. My sense, and that's why we call the book COVID-19 and the Global Predators. These are just predatory people on a big, big scale. But I wanted to put that in. I'm not sure what your feelings are about that. Somewhat it's semantics, but the people who developed the idea of this destructive capitalism are progressives. They come from the left. So I think it's a little misleading, because progressivism is at least as much a part. And as we see under Biden, more of a part than even some of the capitalists are. This is one big hodgepodge of predators are dominating the world right now. I'll stop with that. I'm happy to hear your response.
Dr. Bragan, I'll just say an amen to that, brother, because I think your point is well taken. And as JFK pointed out, fascism can come from any direction. It doesn't necessarily come from one direction. It can come from any direction on the compass in terms of the political perspective. So I'm in total agreement with everything you're saying. Absolutely.
Good. Well, let me give the mic back to you, Dr.
I'm getting a little bit of echo.
That's
in my
from my end. Headphones. I don't know why. I think it is from my end.
And could I have the next slide, Heather? So, go back up. Was it the slide before that? I didn't mean to. Yeah, there we go. I think this is not to spend too much time on anatomy, but it is important from my perspective because when we think about the vaccine, it's not that I don't care about men or reproductive infertility issues in men. I do, because we need healthy gametogenesis on the production of the sperm and also production of the ovum. But I do want to make just one point without getting in the weeds too deep on this slide. Gametogenesis, or the production of the cells, the reproductive cells in the men, are created in the testes and their sperm. We call that gametogenesis. So they only have half the number of chromosomes, 23 chromosomes, compared to the somatic cells. But a woman, a man creates literally, can create a million sperm per hour, per hour. Not so with a woman. A woman, by 30 weeks of gestation, 10 weeks before she's born, she only has a million ovum to last her entire lifetime. She doesn't make new ovum. So this is really, really important, especially next slide. This is a caricature of the lipid nanoparticle, LNP, and lipid nanoparticles are very, very small. And what you see is the outer covering is what we call fat-loving or lipophilic, and it contains a lot of potential toxins, including antifreeze. Yeah, you heard that right. PEG. It contains is the primary component of antifreeze. It's toxic. It also contains many cationic molecular proteins, fat proteins, and then internally is maybe an even greater toxin. It's a man-made RNA. It's not God-made. This is man-made pseudouridinated RNA, and I won't get into that. This is so small, and they have manufactured and designed this particle that it traverses every single God-made barrier in the human body. It traverses the protective barrier to the brain in adults or children, the so-called blood-brain barrier. In pregnant women, it violates the maternal placental fetal barrier, a very important barrier for the developing embryo and fetus. And if that weren't bad enough, it immediately gets into the fetal blood and it goes to every single tissue cell in the fetus, and it crosses and violates the God-made fetal blood-brain barrier. Every single cell in the body of the fetus gets exposed. And in some tissues, these lipid nanoparticles are concentrated. Next slide, Heather. Thank you. And next slide, Heather.
Just got about 45 seconds for this segment.
So we were told that the lipid nanoparticles stay in the arm. Well, they knew that it didn't, and I'll show that. This is a study by Schladlich and colleagues from Europe that was 8, 10 years ago before the epidemic started, the pandemic. In animal models, the lipid nanoparticles concentrate in the ovaries. They knew that in 2012. 2012, we knew that the lipid nanoparticles concentrate. It's a very dangerous thing because in the ovary, remember, beginning at 30 weeks gestation, the million ovum that a female fetus has 10 weeks before delivery, they start to undergo apoptosis and they die off for the rest of the lifetime until the grave.
We're finished now. We're going to continue on this when we return in a few minutes. Well, welcome back. Welcome back. Now you can't take over the show. I gotta. This man is such a good friend. I could tease. I don't tease guests on TV, but I couldn't resist it. Welcome back to Jim Thorpe, and in spirit, his wonderful wife Maggie, as well as my wife Ginger, who has fled me after she plugs me in to make sure that the lighting's okay and that we're all doing fine. We're looking with these issues of maternal fetal medicine with an enormously experienced person, thousands and thousands of patients a year that he consults on. He's the guy that when there's a disaster and he's trying to eat dinner, his phone rings and he has to immediately respond to the heart's not running right in the kid or some other problem, ones I can't even imagine. Welcome back, Dr. Thorpe, and continue with, you know, what you're teaching us today.
Thanks, Dr. Bregan, for having me on. And Heather, could I have the next slide there? I'm going to go through these slides. Next slide. This is a really important study, and I won't spend a lot of time, but this is a FOIA request. This is Dr. Byram Bridal of Toronto, a great colleague, a brilliant investigative researcher. And he got a FOIA request, and this is what Pfizer should have told us, and they didn't. They knew this, and they tried to block this data coming out for 75 years. You know, why, if you have nothing to hide, why do you want to block it for 75 years? But this is a smoking gun. In the column that is highlighted there, I'm sorry, the row that's highlighted, that's ovarian tissue. And if the first column is the injection of the vaccine, and the last column is 48 hours. Folks, let this sink in. 118-fold concentration in the ovaries of those toxins, 118. And as Dr. Jessica Rose and myself and others have pointed out, the slope and the trajectory, it's like, holy cow, let's hurry up and kill and sacrifice these animals because we don't want to see where it goes up to. It goes sky high. And, you know, if they had carried this on for another 72 hours or 96 hours, it might have gotten up to 1,000-fold concentration. They cut it off. So next slide. This is very, very important because remember, the woman only has 1 million ovum, gametes. She doesn't make 1 million sperm an hour like men do. Next slide. I mentioned that the medical, peer-reviewed medical journals, the flagship of the medical industrial complex, are corrupted. They're tainted. Lancet is supported by the medical industrial complex. So are most of the major medical journals. Just like the CDC and the FDA, their operating budgets is from vaccine industry. Can you imagine the meltdown that we would have if the EPA had their support of oil companies that gave them 50% of their report? That's a major conflict of interest. Next slide. This is one of the typical kind of a misinformation that's published in a major medical journal. This is published in the journal Placenta, and these investigators allege that it's the vaccine that causes the problem. It's the COVID-19, not the vaccine that causes the problems in pregnancy. And what's interesting is that you can tell when there's a corrupted medical journal because they'll never talk about the vaccine. And then the other clue is that they will use woke language. And like they'll use pregnant person, you know, like we don't give the sanctity of womanhood anymore. We take that back because men can get pregnant according, and men can breastfeed or chest feed. Next study. This is a placenta that has been damaged by the vaccine. This is Pfizer vaccine 8 weeks prior to this. This is a very abnormal placenta. Next slide. Another one about 6 weeks after Pfizer. And by the way, the instant pattern recognition on these ultrasounds of placental abnormalities, they're unique to Pfizer and also to Moderna. Moderna's injury looks a little bit different. Next slide. Here's another vaccinated placenta with a pathology. Next slide. Just very briefly, they are supposed to be always in the history of medicine, because we've had several major disasters in my specialty that we're not proud about, starting with the mid-19th century of Ignaz Philipp Semmelweis, the Hungarian Jew, the father of medicine, of infectious disease, and the father of clinical studies. And then we go to the mid-20th century, the thalidomide disaster. And we go to the DES disaster. And in the 70s, the Dalkon Shield disaster. We've had a lot of horrible outcomes. And you'd think that as obstetricians, the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology, Society of Maternal Fetal Medicine, would have learned a lesson from history, but they didn't. This is a phase one, phase two, and phase three toxicology, reproductive toxicology study that's mandatory before any drug is or vaccine is ever let out in the general public. Well, these were let out and they were altered and they were ethically, immorally, and unethical. The pharmaceutical companies involved and the CDC and FDA hid this data. Next slide. This was reported on. I was interviewed by the Epic Times last week and this story broke. This Sasha Alexandra Latipova, brilliant researcher. She's a former pharmaceutical industry expert. She's got a couple of PhDs. She's brilliant. And she looked at these numbers. And they saw significant abnormalities in the developing animal models. And they buried it. They hid it. They hid it from the American people and the world people, worldwide population. Next slide, Heather. Thank you. So what they found was that the dams or the fetuses were damaged from this from the testing in the phase one. Typically phase one is animal experiments before pregnancy to see how fertile the animals are. And phase two is in the early part of pregnancy, and phase three is the latter part of pregnancy and breastfeeding. Next slide, Heather. So what they found was that there was a skeletal dysplasia abnormality in a significant number of the fetuses that were exposed. Next study, Heather. Next slide. So this study was actually published 9 months after this experiments were performed, and it was completely silenced. It was completely, the data, all of the concerning data were removed, was published 9 months later. Next slide. Okay, this is what they saw. They saw developing rib abnormalities of what we know to be, what I know to be, is skeletal dysplasias. And skeletal dysplasias are a rare malformation, but many of them are lethal. They're deadly. And you see this fetus is an ultrasound of which, you know, I do. And you'll see that the abdomen there on the left, the thorax is on the right and the heart. And that should be the same size, but it's not. There's no lung tissue there, so these babies can't survive. In the middle slide, you see an X-ray of that baby after birth, and then the fetus to the far, the newborn stillbirth to the far right. This is lethal skeletal dysplasia. This is thanatophoric dysplasia. But these are very serious. Now, they hid those. This is fraud. They've unleashed a vaccine which was proven, not suspected, proven in mandatory reproductive toxicology studies in animals, and they hid it. Next slide. Now, I'm going to just spend really the balance of my time. This is really the meat of my presentation, and I think this is probably my sixth or seventh publication just this year concerning COVID-19. And this will be submitted. This might be the most important article of all 200 in my career. Let me set the stage. I use government data, VAERS data. VAERS is Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. This is a mandated legislative pharmacovigilant tool put in place in 1986. It started about 1989 or 1990. And it was used as a quid pro quo for the vaccine industry to give them immunity, legal immunity. So what I did was I said, let's use VAERS database. And since I know, I think I know the pathophysiologic mechanisms of how the pregnancies are being lost, the babies are being malformed, the embryos are being malformed, the fetuses are being malformed, they have all kinds of pathology and they die, or the newborns that do make it alive, they may have chronic permanent illness, or they may die shortly after. Now, many moms will take this and won't have a problem with it. We can't predict who will and who will not have a problem with it. So what I did was I took, used as a control group, every influenza vaccine that has been used since January 1998. January 1st, 1998 was the beginning of our study. And the reason why we chose that was because just 3 months earlier, the CDC and we all started pushing influenza vaccines in pregnancy. So we have a wealth of data, a good control group, if you will. And then we ran the study up to this June 30th, just a month ago, and we ran that entire time period. And we looked at using COVID-19 vaccination in pregnancy as the experimental group. So I'll cut to the chase. This was a very sophisticated, very easy analysis, and it's been corroborated by experts. Just got off a webinar earlier today with Dr. Jessica Rose. She's corroborated all this data, and she'll probably be a co-author as well. But what we found was very, very concerning. Next slide. So now compared to the influenza vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine caused a massive increase in menstrual irregularities. And when you look at the size of this discrepancy, it was very concerning. You're looking at over 1,100-fold odds ratio. There was a substantial increase in miscarriage, substantial increase in fetal chromosomal abnormalities, substantial increase in a unique, relatively rare malformation in the first trimester and early second trimester called fetal cystic hygroma. All other fetal malformations significantly increased. Fetal cardiac abnormalities significantly increased. Fetal cardiac arrhythmias significantly increased. Fetal cardiac arrest, the heart stops, significantly increased. Fetal growth restriction, which was a no-brainer. I knew that was there, and the study corroborated it because of the placental abnormalities. We call that intrauterine growth restriction or fetal growth restriction. Fetal surveillance abnormalities, so like when you're putting on the monitor, the fetal heart rate monitor, the NST, or the biophysical profile, substantial increased risk in abnormalities in those having the COVID-19 vaccine compared with the influenza vaccine. Substantial increase in fetal vascular malperfusions. That's very sophisticated, the ultrasounds that I do. Sophisticated are new ultrasounds, Doppler, velocimetry, color flow velocities of the blood cells in, say, the ductus arteriosus, the ductus venosus, the umbilical artery, the umbilical vein, and the middle cerebral artery in the brain as well. And we also have a substantial increase in placental thrombosis, blood clot in the placentas, which may be lethal, significant increase in amniotic fluid reduction, and fetal death. Next slide. Now, this is a classic forest plot, and I love forest plots because they really give a visual. And on the y-axis there, you see only a portion of those 14 variables I showed you on the last slide. You can't create an odds ratio or a relative risk when the denominator, that would be the number of complications in the influenza group, were zero. When there's a denominator of zero, you can't create an odds ratio, although they were still very statistically significant. But what's notable on this graph is there's you got the dot, the triangle in the middle, and you have the lines coming out from each side. Those are 95% confidence intervals. And when that confidence interval is so far away from zero, you know that this is a very important danger signal that's being projected at us. And I'll also say that it's important to point out on this graph that the x-axis is not a linear graph. This is a logarithmic graph. So these odds ratios are a lot worse than that, what they look at, because it's logarithmic axis. And Dr. Bragan, this is really the heart of what I wanted to present to you. Now, the VAERS data, there's 25 other completely independent sources, totally independent of VAERS, that are actually worse than VAERS. So I have credible evidence. Albert Benavides is the VAERS expert in the world, and I've spent many, many hours going through the data with him. And he's been in this industry for 30 years. He knows it like the back of his hand. And he's got proof of not only malfeasance, but also the fact that the CDC and the FDA are trying to throttle VAERS. They're trying to minimize the adverse events. They didn't do such a good job. But believe it or not, the VAERS is not stacked in favor of false safety signals, danger signals. No, it's not. It's the other way around. If you look at those 25 other independent sources, the outcomes are much worse, lending credibility to Albert Benavides' assumption. I think proof is good that I've seen that there has actually been data, fraudulent data manipulation. And if you don't believe the VAERS data and you throw out the other 25 independent sources and physicians that are listening to me or naysayers that are listening to me, let me ask you this. If you're going to throw all those studies out, are you going to, would you believe Pfizer themselves if they came out and told you that the vaccine was killing and injuring our worldwide population? Would you believe them? That it was injuring pregnant women? Would you believe them? I hope you would. Well, they did just that. They tried to hide it for 75 years. Pfizer tried to block the FOIA, and the federal judge said, no, you drop it all, you know, 200,000 pages or almost 13 gigabytes of data per month, the first of every month. Well, I have been in receipt of the whistleblower data from Pfizer 5.3.6 for 16 months, but I couldn't tell you for 100% certain that it wasn't contrived or fake. But I've been in receipt of it. I studied it very carefully. April 1st, April Fool's Day this year, it was dropped. Go to phmpt.org. That is public health and physicians or providers, medical providers, PHMPT for transparency, public health and medical providers for transparency.org. And go to the 5.3.6 Pfizer post-marketing experience. Go to page 7. On page 7, there were 1,223 dead people after the vaccine, just in less than 90 days of the rollout. Think about that. Put that in perspective. In 1976, the swine flu vaccine, I was a second year medical school. I remember like it was yesterday, there were 26 deaths. The FDA, CDC, everybody immediately took that vaccine off the market. Now, the rotavirus vaccine in the turn of the century, 1999, 2000, there weren't any deaths. There were a few cases, a dozen or so cases of intussusception, immediately taken off the market. Now we fast forward to the COVID-19 vaccination, and there's 1,203 dead, according to Pfizer's own data, in less than 90 days of the rollout. This vaccine should have been immediately removed from the market in December of 2020. Now go to page 12 of that Pfizer, and if you don't remember phmpt.org, just go to DuckDuckGo. Don't go to Google, because it's stacked. You'll never find it. Go to an honest, truthful, unblocked search engine and type in Pfizer 5.3.6. you'll come up with that same document. Look with your own eyes. Go to page 12. On page 12, there were 270 pregnant women. 45% of them, 46% of them actually, had complications, adverse events, of which 75 or 27% were deemed serious adverse events. And then the miscarriage rate from the data that they had was well above 80%.
Jim, so we've only got a minute and 20 seconds to go. Let's take a breath in a way, in some way. Generally, folks, a large percentage of serious effects, if it were at 3%, would be considered a really serious problem, would get mentioned in the labels and discussed. And Jim, you're talking not about 3% or 2%, which in itself is considered common, by the way. A common adverse effect is 1% of the people. That's FDA. And we're talking here about 30%, 40%. And it's just frightening. Jim, we've got very few seconds left, really. This is obviously a criminal conspiracy. From my viewpoint, a criminal conspiracy is two or more people hiding a collaboration to commit a criminal offense. And, you know, if God doesn't get them, I certainly hope we do in some way. We need a Nuremberg investigation of all of this. Thank you. Thank you. You got 5 seconds to say goodbye. Thank you so much.
By Dr. Bragan, thank you so much for having me on your platform. Ginger, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Jim Thorpe. Thank you.